This is the podcast of Theophilus Church. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.
Welcome to church, guys. Tonight we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And as he stood up, he read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for all the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilling in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Good. Yes, you can go ahead and be seated. So I have two things to do here. One is a quick announcement, and then the second is to introduce somebody who we're going to hear from this evening. So the quick announcement is this. If you are a guy and you're like, how do I meet other guys in Theophilus? Don't worry. The manliest man I know, Tom Ritz, who you can wave. Can you wave? Thanks. Yeah. He's going to teach you how to man. He has taught me how to be a better man, and so far I've got the beard, and that's about it. I'm working on other skill-based things, but if you just want to hang out with Tom and me and other real men, that's not me, I'm still working on it, then you need to get in touch with Tom. If you are signed up for our newsletter, then there's some information in that. There's going to be monthly guys' nights that Tom is hosting, and he said if you would like his phone number, just come find him, and he's happy to give that to you, okay? So there you go. All right. I have the pleasure of introducing someone. Yes, Tom. And the first one's this Thursday. Thanks. I forgot that part. I should have written this down. I have the pleasure of introducing someone tonight who has had a very long connection to our church, but in ways that most of us haven't seen. When this church was just an idea, Gabe Barrero was part of this church, and he has poured so much into this church through the training and the equipping of our leaders over its whole entire life. And then as we started entering into a season of pastoral transition, the elders and the council got to know Gabe very, very well. Gabe is the district superintendent for the North Pacific District of Foursquare, which is sort of our big body here in the Pacific Northwest. It is kind of the family of churches that extends all up the West Coast, all the way up to Alaska. And Gabe has been covering this time of transition in prayer and has been answering our questions, and we've been giving him feedback as the Lord has led. And as you heard last Sunday when we sort of announced that we have come to a place to appoint a pastor that Gabe brought to us for our confirmation, it's been a real neat leading of the Spirit how the Lord has led us together. And so I'm really proud and honored to welcome Gabe Barrero here to install our pastors, Cameron and Ashley Marvin. Would you welcome Gabe up here?
Thank you. Thank you so much for that introduction. It means a lot coming from you, Andy. It really does. Thank you. It really is a humbling and just a really special experience for me to be a part of this service tonight. And it's, you know, sometimes it's so hard in words to express what something really means to you. And this, I could just say this means so much to me, kind of like when I knew my wife was going to give birth to our first child, and I was so excited about that. You know, it kind of is on that level of significance for me to be a part of this historic day. I want to just give you very quickly just a really quick outline of what is about to happen. I want to share with you a few things about the church, about God's people and God's church. And I want to do it very quickly. I mean, for those of you that really geek out on this kind of stuff, I'm just going to go really quick through a timeline of the people of God from Old Testament to New Testament. And I want us to find ourselves in that narrative. And then I think that'll help us understand the role of the pastor as well in the life of a church. And the other thing I want to just let you guys know, in just a moment when I'm done, Cameron's going to run down and get the kiddos, and he's going to bring them up here, and we're going to have a prayer time where I'm going to invite the council and the elders of the church to come up to the front here at the altar, and we're going to lay hands on them as a family and just pray over them. And I'm also going to ask the elders and the council to pray with me, so I want them to lead out in prayer, and if God has given them a word for your pastors, and I want to allow for that. So that might feel a little kind of unscripted, and that's okay. But this evening, I just want to share a couple things with you. The local church, a community of faith. A community of faith because we're exercising our faith, putting our faith in God. We are this community of faith, but I want to introduce this language just to this evening. Maybe you've heard of this before, but I want to propose that we are God's missionary people in the world, every one of us. The local church as God's missionary people. There's a passage in Jeremiah that I really love the imagery of the promised people of God, God's people that he has chosen. I love this imagery, although there's many others leading up to this. When God's people, promised people, are exiled, he gives them this admonition. This is the prophet Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel. He's called you into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And he tells them, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I love the imagery of the mutuality, the reciprocal kind of relationship that a church has with the flourishing of its community, as the prophet Jeremiah was giving instruction to the people. And here we see the heart of God for a community. Here we see God's intended purpose for the missionary people of God, his show nation, to reveal the wonders of God through a people as they embedded and as they lived among their community. The church is the only human community that does not exist for itself. It exists for God and for the world that Jesus came to save. And I think that's really important for us to understand God's purpose for the church. And then the reading of the scriptures that we just had really outlines the ministry of Jesus. And so I want to fast forward now to give us an understanding of what the ongoing work of the local church is as the missionary people of God. When Luke recorded this moment where Jesus declares the purposes of his ministry, one of the things that I want to propose to us is that that is the ministry that we as Christ followers, as Christ-like people, carry on into the world. So when Jesus talks about the Spirit of the Lord fell on him to accomplish these amazing things, he was anointed to preach the good news and he was sent to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight to blind, and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What I want to remind us tonight is that too is our ministry in the world as Christ followers, as Jesus people. We embody and we live into that anointing by the Spirit of God. Jesus came announcing the arrival of the kingdom, and so do we. In word and in deed, we reflect that there is this kingdom of God that's invading our time and space as a local church and as a community of people. The church purpose is to live out the values of the kingdom of God and to be a witness to love and justice revealed in Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit for the transformation of human life in all dimensions, both on the individual and the community level. The church is a community of believers formed by the Spirit, experiencing God's redemption and called to continue the work of reconciling the world to God and to each other. And then there's this moment. This is probably one of the verses that I'm humbled that Jesus invites us into this kind of activity. But in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says, as he's getting ready to leave, he tells the disciples, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This verse is powerful because it actually covers this relationship, this dance that we have with this triune God. As Jesus declares that the Father sent him, he says, "I'm sending you," and then he breathes on them the Spirit. And in that, we see this triune community that we as the church are brought into as well. And we're sent. But he told the church, wait. He told them to wait in the upper room so that they would truly receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then that they would be witnesses in all of the world, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are the missionary people of God. Mission is not an event. It's not just to a foreign country. Mission is not just for clergy. Every generation of Christians in every place receives the power of the Spirit that makes possible the witness to the gospel. We need the Spirit to bear witness to the gospel. And so as we go forth, as we live out this gospel in our community, we recognize that it's the work of the Spirit in our lives. And so today we rely on the work of the Spirit to work in and through us. And then it's in this context now that I want to move us towards this pastoral vision. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all people, sons and daughters, young and old. We are this Christ community in the world, but distinctively, the Spirit gives grace to people to lead the church. And the Bible tells us that he gives pastors and shepherds to lead, teach, encourage, correct, connect people to the mission of God to be all that God has called people to be. There's a grace given for this assignment, for this office of the pastor. Acts 20:28 says about the pastor's role. It says, "Those who are being charged with the office of the pastor have the following responsibilities. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock for which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds, pastors of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And as we sang that in worship tonight, I just was fighting back tears because Jesus loves his church. He paid with his life for the church. The purpose of the local church is to equip and mobilize men and women for God's mission into the world, not exclusively for church building ministry, but in every field of human life, in every home, in every business, every hospital, every university, in every office, in every workshop. In conclusion, everywhere, since there is no place that is not within the orbit of the Lordship of Christ. And I want to end there and then ask Cameron to grab the kiddos, and we're going to transition towards a moment of prayer. In these transitions, one of the things that is inevitable is that It is a huge privilege for me to get to know the leadership of the church, which honestly has been one of the greatest blessings I've had over the last couple of months, is meeting new people that I just had not met. I knew some of the elders, but she got to meet most of the council for the first time. And I just loved every minute of it, the times that I had with them and the robust conversations we had about the direction of the church and what we were sensing by the Spirit of God was just a wonderful experience for me and a humbling one. Early on, some people shared with me in many different ways that they had essentially asked me to consider Cameron as the pastor of the church. And I took those requests or hopes and longings very serious. And there was also that sense even within the council and the eldership as well. And so I must confess in one ways that maybe I am kind of Johnny come lately to what God was doing, okay? That may be the perception. But nonetheless, I believe that the process was essential. I believe that the process was holy. I really believe that there was something of significance for me to see maybe what some of you already saw. And I will just tell you, maybe selfishly, that the times that I had with Cameron and Ashley, and a few times just with Cameron alone, that I really was blessed to see really who they are and what God had done in their lives, what God was doing in their lives, and begin to discern what he might be doing in them moving forward. And it deepened us. Do you know that every pastor needs a pastor as well? And so the process really allowed for, I believe, the kind of relationship where we're yoked in this together. And even though some of you may have known, I think the process has gone full circle. I can confirm, we all can say it seemed right to us in the Holy Spirit. And I hope you see that that was God's intended purpose, that was the Spirit leading us to be even more interconnected and interdependent and integrated in ways that maybe we didn't understand. And it surely was an opportunity for God to confirm in manifold ways, many different ways, that this was the call on their life. And so thank you once again for your patience. Thank you once again for being committed to process, being committed to liminality and mystery when we sometimes don't know. There's this other side of God, this other way of God in those moments where we see him and know him in the mystery of who he is as well. And so I'm really excited today to be able to now conclude this, my portion of this, by inviting them as a family to come up. There's something that I have written down on a document here that I want Cameron to hold one of them. And then there's a couple of things I want to read on him on this document. And then he also has a response to this as a way of just now bringing ownership or accepting this call. Ownership is probably not the right word, but just accepting the call of the office of the pastor of this church. So just follow along with me. It says, the office of the Foursquare pastor is a sacred trust given by the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel in accordance with the will and calling of God. Through a process of prayer and discernment, Cameron Marvin is being recommended to you today by myself, the district supervisor of the North Pacific District, and the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel Board of Directors. Cameron, as a pastor, as a Foursquare pastor, you are charged with the following: to devote yourself to the worship of God, to the study of his word, a lifestyle of personal purity and continuing maturity as a follower of Christ, to give yourself to the mission of God, to evangelize and enrich your community, to strive for the salvation of souls, and to work and to the work of God's justice in your community and around the world. Through preaching, teaching, and servant leadership, dedicate yourself to the edification and maturing of each member of this congregation. Nurture the ongoing development of spiritual leaders around you. Be a man under authority who participates in, with, and is actively involved in Foursquare, in the Foursquare movement locally, regionally, nationally, and globally. To work together with your church council to steward the finances of this church with integrity and accountability and adherence with the Foursquare bylaws. And so I charge you, keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Be shepherd of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood, Acts 20:28. And you can read your response.
This is so formal. I hereby accept the office of pastor of Theophilus Foursquare Church and will, to the best of my ability, execute the trust given, first by God and by the leadership of this church. It is my firm belief that in accepting this office, I am submitting to the revealed will of God for both our church and my calling.
Amen. Can you guys give him a round of applause? I'd like the council and the elders to come up as we get ready to pray. Thank you. And then if your family can just be here and in the middle, and you guys can gather around them. We're just going to pray, and I'm going to ask the council members as I anoint them with oil to just begin to pray over them.
Father God, we thank you for this family. We thank you for the work that you have done in them already. You've led them to this point, and we all know it. We all sense it. And Lord, you have a purpose here with each of us and with all of us, but with this family and leadership. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to you in this process. And we submit ourselves to one another as a family in you to do the work that you have given us, walk in the grace that you have given us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Father, Lord, I pray a special blessing, God, over Deacon, Eden, and Sophie. They are your children. And you have entrusted them to Cameron and Ashley. And Father, I pray that you will protect and guard Deacon and Eden and Sophie, and that they will know your joy, and they will know your laughter and your playfulness and your creativity. Father, build them up. Send angels around their house and around their bedrooms. Keep them safe. Pull them close to you. Let them feel your touch. Holy Spirit, be so close to those children. They are your children, Father. And as a church, we promise to build them up and love them and protect them and honor them in the way that you have asked. God, I pray for that blessing to be transferred to Cameron and Ashley as parents. They are tasked with this responsibility of guiding and shepherding our church. But first and foremost, they are parents. And God, build this family closer to you. Give them this unity and this love and this joy and this sense of just this desire to want to be together, this desire to play together. Father, build them up. Let your spirit be so thick in their house that when they all come home, they can just rest and feel you, Father.
Lord, thank you that in the first 10 years of this community, you built a foundation, solid and stable. And now Ashley and Cameron come as the architects of the first story. And this place will become surprisingly different in ways that many of us may not even imagine, but the foundation is strong, and what they're going to build is going to be beautiful. It's not something more.
Lord, I want to pray for Cameron, that you would raise him up like an eagle, Lord, as you've spoken to him and shown me as well. Just pray that he would be present and watchful. And when you call him and when you reveal things to him, that he would be strong and powerful to go forward in your work. Pray the same for Ashley and the whole family to cultivate that spirit of presence and watchfulness with you as their strength, Lord.
And Father, I hope as a, and I pray as a church body, and also as the leadership falls on Cam and Ashley, that we would not forget or belittle this process that we've gone through to get to this moment, that as frustrating as some of it might have been, it still was a very good process of leaning into the Holy Spirit to actually wait and to be quiet and to pray and possibly fast, and really feel that when this decision was arrived, that it was of the Spirit, and it wasn't of our own human inkling, but that it was Spirit-led and Spirit-ordained. And let us, as we go forward now, not forget that experience, and let us learn even step by step to further lean into the Holy Spirit and know him and be able to call upon him in all decisions, and not be afraid to wait as we earnestly seek him and hear his voice in what this church should be and become. And we'll thank you for this time of waiting and listening and praying to hear this decision come tonight. We thank you for that time, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will be upon Cam and Ashley. God, you've given them peace and clarity, and I just ask that that would continue as they move forward in leading our church. God, help us to open our hearts to where you have us as a community going, but also to be open to your voice and your direction.
Lord, I just I ask and pray that you be with the Marvins and guide them, and be with Cameron as help him, Lord, help him lead Theophilus on the path that you have set out before us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the witness, Lord, of your Spirit among us now as we've been praying. And I just want to pray, Lord, just as Jesus was anointed to carry out the ministry, Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing, a specific anointing for this role, this assignment that you're giving Cameron. Lord, I pray for greater grace. Lord, I pray for gifting and abilities that have not been witnessed before to now become activated in his life by the work of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that there would be a greater grace for this new season and this assignment. By your Spirit, I pray that you would renew him, refresh him, and equip him for the steps he is to take. Lord, he is a servant leadership. Lord, he is a man who walks in the fear of God. And Lord, I just pray that his ear would now be even more inclined, Lord, towards you, to lean into you as he leads this church. Lord, I just pray that you will give him strength, God, for the task at hand, strength, God, that comes by your Spirit, and that he would know the power of God in new dimensions that he's never known before. Lord, I just pray right now that you would install him as the pastor of this church by your Spirit. Lord, we discern it, but Lord, you are the one that ultimately does that. And we agree today, Lord, for that that gifting, that unction, Lord, in his life to carry out what you've called him to do. And for Ashley and for his household, his children, Lord, I just pray that as they're in this together, Lord, they would be enriched in every way, that they would flourish as a family in every way, because Lord, we've also extended grace to them. Lord, every pastor has a calling and yet has clay feet. And so Lord, we want to already prepare our hearts to, Lord, have grace for all the learning and all the growing that's going to take place that we get to witness as your Spirit works in and through his life. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And Cameron, I just have this image that when you punch in an address in a phone, and Siri will give you a couple of different ways to get to that same place, I feel like the direction of the church is going to shift, but the same place lies ahead. And so when that happens on our phone, one may seem shorter, one may seem longer, one may seem less. God is leading this church, and there is a place, there is an ongoing journey that will continue to unfold. And yet, because of your calling, and because of who you are, and because of your story, and because of what God has deposited in you, it's going to look different getting there. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We welcome that, Lord. We prepare our hearts to see all that you're going to do through him whom you have called, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Amen.
Oh, man. I'm like shaking a little bit, and now I get to work through this. This is a really big day for us as a family and for the life of our church and this community, and it is just an overwhelming joy for me. I love this family. I have loved being a part of this community for 9 years. It's poured into my family. It's shaped our life in such integral ways. It's shaped my kids. And just the fact that we get to continue on this journey together, and to pursue the Spirit with one another and see where the Spirit is going to take us in this next chapter, is just an overwhelming joy for us, to have the opportunity to do that. Today is equally special for me because today is my 13-year anniversary being married to this amazing... We're ready, Jesus. But seriously, you know, if you know Ashley, she absolutely hates attention. She will never get up here and talk. You will never hear her from up here, and that's by her choosing. And yet, she, from day one, has been my biggest supporter, has been the lifeblood of our family, has been the rock of our home, and has really just laid an incredible foundation for what is going on to be 13 years of ministry together. I love you more than you'll ever know. Happy anniversary. All right, moving on. So I was supposed to give a short little sermon, and the last week and a half, this is going to be really short. It's going to be about 10 minutes. I was trying to find a text. What is a text that kind of leads us in the direction where I feel God has been stirring up within me and other leaders in the church? And as I've been spending time kind of walking and praying, I've been spending a lot of time doing that lately, there's two words that keep coming back that I feel the Spirit keeps putting on my heart. And the words are rootedness and reintegration. And those words, I've been kind of wrestling with the Spirit. What does that mean? Where are you leading us as a community? How can that apply to our community? So I started searching for a text like, okay, where are you going with this? What can speak to rootedness and reintegration? And then because we are still in Eastertide as a church, we are still following the lectionary as a community, I turned to our reading for this week, and it is so profoundly applicable to this day and time. So we're going to just continue on with this story. I don't know if you know, but today is actually the birthday of the Gentile church. Today is the story when Peter meets Cornelius and the gospel spreads through the Gentile world through a vision that God gives to Peter. We're not going to read the text, but I'm going to summarize it for you really quick. It's in Acts chapter 11 is the text for today, but in Acts chapter 10, it details this interaction that Peter has with Cornelius. Peter is still in Joppa. Andy spoke about Joppa last week when he preached on Tabitha. And as he revealed, Joppa was this really interesting town. It was mixed with Gentiles and Jews. It was a border town near today Tel Aviv. That's kind of the area that it was in. And you have this mixed culture. You have Gentiles there, you have Jews there. And Tabitha was this profound woman who was a disciple of Christ, who was doing incredible things, incredible acts of justice. And she died, and Peter healed her, and it was a blessing to the community. That was the essence of the sermon last week. Well, Peter he's lingering in Joppa. He's lingering in this border town. And it says in Acts 10 that he's committing himself to prayer, and he's committing himself so faithfully that he's forgetting to eat, and he's growing exceedingly hungry, to the point to where Peter thinks that he's hallucinating, or he is going into, like, he's starting to see things. And in this vision, as Peter is in prayer and going into this weird state, he sees this cloth fall down from heaven. And on this sheet that is coming down are all these four-footed animals that were considered unclean for eating to Jewish people. And he hears this voice in his hunger. You've probably had this experience, right? Where you're so hungry, and then anything that walks past you, it says, you hear a voice in your head says, eat that, right? Peter sees this cloth come down, and he hears this voice that says, Peter, kill and eat. This is triggering for Peter. You have to remember, Peter was a Jew. He was a really good Jew. And he just got done walking the earth for several years, following step by step the person of Jesus. And when he followed step by step with the person of Jesus for over two years, there was not one moment in that collective time that Jesus sat him down, handed him a piece of unclean food, and said, Peter, eat that. No. They walked together as two Jewish friends, and they ate clean meat, and they honored the Sabbath together. They pressed into the law of the Lord that God had given to their ancestors. And now, after the resurrection, he has this voice that's telling him, Peter, kill that and eat. It stirs all kinds of emotions up in him. Is this the voice of God, or is this the voice of his hunger? What is this? He responds to this voice and he says,
You know I have never eaten anything unclean. You know that. Why would you have me do that? And the voice says, don't you ever consider what I have considered clean, unclean. Peter continues the wrestling three times. They're going back and forth. Yes, no, yes, no. Meanwhile, in a complete other town, there's a centurion. There's this guy named Cornelius. He's a centurion. He's a military leader. He is praying, and in this time of prayer, he is face to face with a man dressed in white clothes, and the man dressed in white clothes says, I want you to go to Joppa to look for a guy by the name of Simon Peter and tell him to tell you what the Spirit is speaking to him. So Cornelius sends two servants to go to Joppa, and they said, where's Simon Peter? They said, at that house. They go to the house, they knock on the door, and Peter is wrestling in this trance, and these two Gentile men walk into the door and said, Peter, tell us what God is telling you to tell us. In that moment, Peter's eyes were open. And he began, the lid of the gospel, of this good news that he had been holding, just went, blew off, boom. And he remembered Jesus telling him, Peter, I baptize you with water, but in the future, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and it is going to blow your mind. And those words had meaning in that moment when those two guys came. And so Peter sat with these two Gentiles and he told them the gospel. And not only that, he took some of his men and he followed six of these guys back to their home. And they sat in this room and they ate together as he was sharing the good news of Jesus. Other Jews didn't like what was going on here. This is where we get to chapter 11. Jews saw that Peter was eating with these Gentiles, and they said, Peter, don't you know that it is against the law to eat with Gentiles? And Peter retells the story that he had just encountered, the word that he received from God, and the direction of the Holy Spirit that was going. And guess what? The people in that room, the Gentiles, they started to speak in tongues, and they started to praise God, rejoicing, and they collectively received the good news of the gospel, and it started to spread among them. Peter retells that story to these Jewish critics, and he looks at them. This is my favorite part of the story. He looks at these Jewish critics, and he said, so what am I supposed to do with that? What do I do with that? And all of them looked at him, and they said, good point. And they rejoiced in what the Spirit was doing together, and they celebrated the good news spreading among the Gentiles. On November 15th of this last year, Ashley and myself, it was a Thursday night, we joined two of our best friends to go to Seattle, Washington, to watch the Packers play the Seattle Seahawks. It was the last time in the history of football that the Seattle Seahawks will beat the Green Bay Packers. So I hope you Russell Wilson fans got your fix in. Side note, true story, this is just totally random tangent, but this last week, is Deacon in here? No, he's okay. This last week, we were in the car driving home, and I'm a huge Packer fan. We don't like the Seahawks in our home. Well, our kids are arguing in the back of the car, and we're telling them, like, guys, you gotta be quiet. One of our kids decides that this is the opportune time to tattle. So they says, Dad, Deacon, during this week, he said the S word. Well, stupid is the S word in our house, I guess. Apparently, they made up this rule. And out of nowhere, Deacon goes, Dad, no, I promise, I did not say Seahawks. And at that point, I knew I had succeeded as a father. Oh, geez, spilled my water. We go to this stadium, and if you know anything about CenturyLink Field, it's really known for being super, super loud. And I'm at the very top of the stadium, and I look down, and there was a moment when I was yelling at the top of my lungs, and I could tell I was losing my voice, but I couldn't hear myself yell. And I paused for a second towards the end of the game, and I see myself, or I'm experiencing myself amidst 72,000 people. And if you've ever had an experience like that, you realize your smallness really, really, really fast. I'm in this stadium, am I going, wow, why do I take myself so seriously? I am so small. And I'm driving home that night as the rest of the car is dozing off, and I'm wrestling with this voice saying, why do you take yourself so seriously? And I'm having this internal dialogue, and I'm saying, well, because I have value, because I'm a unique person. I'm valuable in myself. That's why I take myself seriously. I'm a person who values responsibility. And then I catch that image again, way up here, and it goes, yeah, but you're really, 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 really small. I was wrestling with this tension of being valuable and being small at the same time, being very, very unique, never to be replicated, fearfully and wonderfully made on one hand, and really, really just a person amidst the crowd, sort of insignificant and very small on the other hand. I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next day, and I received a phone call from AJ, and it was the phone call where he told me that it was time for he and his family to move on to the next chapter of their life. And I believe that I had that experience, and I had that moment for such a time as this. I believe that perhaps something that God is trying to remind us, me through that experience and us through a text like this, is we are a people who wrestles with God and the Holy Spirit much like Peter did. Peter, on one hand, is trying to have God acknowledge the uniqueness of his identity as a Jew. And he's saying, God, this is something that you gave to me. This is a part of a covenant that you gave to our ancestors. It is significant. It is big. It is holy. You cannot ask me to unwrite that. And he's wrestling with the significance of this. And God is gently showing him something so much bigger that he has planned for the people through the gospel message. And he does it in such a way that doesn't undermine Peter's uniqueness or the Jewishness. He doesn't say, oh, this is all meaningless. He's saying, Peter, I want you to have eyes to see the ways in which I'm moving in new ways, the ways in which I plan to make this gospel accessible to all people in all nations. Grow eyes to see this, Peter. You know, Theophilus, we are a people who are pretty transparent. We're really transparent and we're super vulnerable with one another. And it is such a gift that we have as a community. We have so many stories in this church. We have stories of pains from our past, and we have struggle with interaction with the church in our past. And together we have been open and honest with the anxieties that we have as a community. And that is beautiful, and that has shaped us, and that has given a place of safety for our community and is such an integral part of our community. And at the same time, we, in all of our smallness and all of our uniqueness, are a people who are tethered to the Holy Spirit. We are a Holy Spirit people. It is a part of our tradition as a Foursquare church, and it is a part of, and I've watched it move within us, it is a part of our heartbeat. Our desire is to see God move acts of justice in our community and to move in our individual lives in powerful ways. I long to see us move into this space where at one time, at once we can be honest with our stories and with our past and our experience, and at the same time, reintegrated and tethered to the continuing life and movement of the Holy Spirit that is moving us into the future. And that together, we would be like those Jewish critics who said to Peter, why are you doing these things? And when we hear the testimony of what God is doing among us, we throw our hands up and say, what are you going to do with that? Let's rejoice in where we see the Spirit moving into the future. This next chapter and this next wave, I just feel like is going to be a season of joy and rejoicing. That we're going to see the Spirit of God do tremendous things among us, and in that we will find tremendous pleasure and rejoicing. Meanwhile, we're not going to forget our stories, and we're going to have a tremendous amount of patience and presence for those who are not there yet. That's going to be, I believe, the unfolding story of Theophilus, and I could not be more excited to participate in that with you. This is our community that we get to develop and to give life to together. What a joy that is. I want to segue into, we are, you know, this inaugurates a new chapter for us in the life of a church. And I think it's really powerful for this new chapter. Our first act that we get to do collectively as a community is send one of our own into a new field and a new place to pastor in another part of our community, or our nation, actually. Kelsey and Jacob Guckenberger, got to get the good German pronunciation. Kelsey has accepted a pastorate in Des Moines, Iowa, part of the Mennonite Church, and they will be leaving us in a couple weeks, so full invitation for anybody to slash their tires, if you would, after. Jacob and Kelsey came here. I don't know how you found this church other than the sheer grace of God for us. I mean, they have been, in such a short period of time, I've been around few people who can produce as much life. I think of them as people, literally, they like have a cloud of the fruit of the Spirit that just follows them when they walk in a room. And I say that kind of cheeky, but at the same time, it's very real. And if you've been around them, you know that they have a calling on their life that is significant. And they get to go and pastor in Des Moines, Iowa, and that I believe they're going to do that for a long time. And that is, God has graced us as having them a part of our community, and then the ability to participate in this next chapter alongside them. I want you guys to come up here, and I want the elders to come up as well so that we can pray over you and send you off well. But you just need to know, guys, Jacob and Kelsey, that your presence here has meant more than you will ever know. And I am so excited to see what God is going to do in you. You are set apart, you are called, you are gifted, and this is going, hopefully, to be one of many among our community that we can scatter around our nation and sow seeds of light together. You are a part of this community, you will always be a part of this community. Never forget that. We love you, we bless you, and we're going to pray to send you off. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, we are so grateful for the gift of people like this in our community. You have given them a new task to be salt and light into another part of our nation. Lord, I pray that as they receive that task, as they embrace it, and as they move to Des Moines, Lord, that the fruit of your Spirit just grows contagious and moves through the streets through them, that you give them the patience and the presence to operate in the role of pastor so well. God, give Kelsey boldness. May she know, may she be unwavering in her recognition that you have put a distinct call on her life. Mm-hmm. May her words just cut to the heart and the soul of those in her community. And God, may you just produce life that is unfathomable among them. Go before them, bless them. We love you for giving them to us for this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Oh. All right, gang, that's all. That wasn't quite as short as I thought. You can reprimand me later. We're going to come to the table as a community. There are stations up here and in the back. Each week, we get to participate in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus and rejoice in this act that he gave to us. We invite you to come and linger at the table, to spend time dining with the Spirit and remembrance of what Christ has done for us. There's gluten-free elements at each station. Come to the table.
You've been listening to the podcast of Theophilus Church. We hope you've been inspired and challenged by what you've heard. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.